This is season two of the Books as Bad as Twilight podcast,
where we're reading Harry Potter and the Cursed Child by Jack Thorne.
Visit us at our website, www.babatpodcast.com.
Get lost with us in the magical world of Harry Potter.
Not
season two. Yeah, I was going to say, that's like when Kevin and I were like talking, but we weren't seeing each other officially. Mm-hmm. And so we were walking around Canada and we passed a comic book stop, a shop. And Kevin and I had just had a conversation about what his favorite comic book characters were. And he had said Deadpool. Hmm. I was like, okay. And so we were passing this like comic book shop. And I was like, oh, let me see if I could get some Dead whatever
Dead
comics.
Because
I didn't remember what it was.
Yeah.
So I walk in and I go right to D and I'm like finding all these things. I'm like, okay, cool. Like, it's like part... Like, I forget how comic books go.
Yeah, I don't know.
But, like, season three, episode
volume
one. Yeah, volume one. And it was, like, one and three. And I was like, okay, cool. I'll find two at another time. So I grab these comic books and I bring them back to America and I give it to him. And he's like, what's this?
Sorry.
I said, it's that comic guy that you like. He goes, no, it's not. I'm like, yes, it is. He goes, this is Dead Man, not Deadpool.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, no.
That's actually really funny. I'm going to read Dead Man.
It's like, it has this, like, this zombie on the front. And I think he wears red as well.
Mm.
So I was like, okay, like, this is what it is. No, it wasn't.
That's awesome. Dead Man. So much cooler than Deadpool. God.
So much cooler.
So much cooler.
All right. So how are we going to start this episode?
How are we going to start it? God only knows how we can start this. I guess we'll just jump into it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Welcome, everyone, to season two.
Woohoo!
Of Books as Bad as Twilight. Yes, applause, applause.
Good job making it this far.
Good job making it this far. If you listen to season one, well, put on your boots. No, wait,
what?
Sorry. Put on your witches and wizard hats.
Oh, yeah.
Witchards.
Witchards?
I was listening to a podcast and they just kept calling everybody Witchards, combining witches and wizards together, Witchers, and honestly, I could really get behind it.
There's a video game called Witcher.
Really?
Yeah, he's a sorcerer.
It's not well, I mean, it's not, but at the same time, cool.
I think he's a sorcerer. What does he do?
Is it for the PlayStation?
Maybe
I'll buy
it. He's everywhere.
Okay. Oh, by the way, my favorite video game, Kingdom Hearts 3, they announced the release date, January 29, 2019.
I mean, that's all you.
So excited. All right, anyway, sorry, that was just my it's just this morning, so I'm in the hype mode, you know what I'm saying?
You had some coffee.
Yeah. Oh yeah, just had some coffee.
Yeah, Witcher. What does he do?
Well, I call them Witchards.
Witchards.
Hi, Witchards.
Yeah. But like Witcher. He hunts like witches or something like that.
Interesting. That's actually cool.
I don't know, but he has sex with everything in there.
Oh no.
Oh no. I mean, like it's okay. Trust me, he's a good-looking video game character.
Brittany, come on.
He has white hair.
He has white hair?
Yeah, I love white hair.
Okay, cool. I can get behind this.
I mean, look, and he's scarred, and he's...
Oh, I've definitely seen that before.
Good-looking guy.
I've
for a video game. That's
video
weird.
Game. No, it's not weird.
I know, a
Do you
lot
know
of
how
people
many...
have, like, boners who are animated characters.
Look, I'm not going to be specific, but yeah. Like, I mean, come on.
Inuyasha was mine.
Like, I don't know who that is.
That is, he is the main guy in the anime Inuyasha.
Oh, okay. Well, that's why I've never
By
heard
of the same
it.
Name. Yeah, you don't watch anime.
I mean, I do. I want to watch Cowboy Bebop. I try not to limit my spectrum. Even though I don't really like anime, like, I try to watch it.
Cowboy Bebop is a good one to watch.
Yeah.
I haven't personally watched it because it's very long and that's too much for me.
Yeah.
But that is actually one of the more well-known and highly acclaimed ones.
Yeah. I mean, I've watched, Avatar is one of my favorite shows, The Last Airbender, which I hesitate to call anime, but still. It is. Yeah.
It's more Americanized.
Yeah.
I watched Inuyasha, Cold Case... This is the one I was a kid. Cold Case. Even Sailor Moon's anime.
That's right. And Pokemon, technically.
And Pokemon. Yeah. what was it? Full Metal Alchemist.
I've heard of that. Really? Is that on Netflix? Do you know?
It is on. I think it's on Netflix.
Yeah, because I think it's on my wish list.
But watch Brotherhood, not the other one.
Oh, okay.
Because there's like one that was more like commercialized, and Brotherhood is one that's more true.
Okay, gotcha.
So that one's pretty good.
Interesting.
I really like that one. Cool. And then Kevin and I watched Seven Deadly Sins. Devil Has a Part-Timer. The devil is a part-timer. Something like that.
That's interesting. Yeah. I really like that title.
It's really cute.
Ooh.
I like it a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a whole
another
thing.
Interesting. Yeah, I'll definitely have to look. I know, like, I will say I did go through a phase about 2 or 3 years ago where I was like really into watching Pokemon. Not as like a Pokemon. This was before Pokemon Go, I believe. And I think I just wanted to watch it, like, just to relive childhood memories, even though I didn't really watch the show that much.
It still has that nostalgic feel to it.
Yeah, and I had watched the first episode a lot, and then we had one episode in VHS, so, like, I was waiting for that one.
So cute.
I know, yeah. And so when I got to that one, I'm like, oh, right, like, and I didn't feel it was weird. I didn't like the episode that much. But anyway, that episode, or that show is very interesting, Pokemon.
Watching stuff as an adult really ruins the nostalgia.
Sometimes, yeah. Especially, I think, though, I don't know if I actually watched this episode, but there's a part in Pokemon where they're running in the rain, and I think it's just my favorite line from the show, like any show, really. The one character, Brock, he's like, oh, I know, I'll use my frying pan as a drying pan, and he puts it over his head, and I'm like, oh my god,
that's amazing. What are you talking about?
Like, that is the best thing I've ever heard in my life.
That is so good.
So yeah, but I guess enough about Pokemon.
I was gonna say, you know what also ruins nostalgic feelings?
Plays like this today. You want to tell us what this season we
are going to be talking about Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. Which I am very disappointed so far. And I did not want to read this, so I hate everyone that voted for it.
I voted for it.
You voted for this?
What did you vote for?
I voted for Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Well, that's a good vote. Yeah. Which I should say, by the way, that came in second. Mm-hmm. And so at some point we are going to read that.
Yeah.
Probably around Halloween.
Ooh, that'd be good.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was thinking, but we figured it out. So yeah.
No, 100%. I think that'd be fun. I support that decision.
Yeah, I'm actually excited for that one, so I'll be good.
I never read Pride and Prejudice either, so.
Yeah, that's the...
I'm a virgin to this all. I haven't seen the movies. I haven't...
I think we should watch...
anything.
Excuse me. I think it'd be cool to watch... I mean, I've seen the 2005 version with Keira Knightley.
Okay.
And then that's actually what introduced me to the... Because I'd never read the book. I saw the movie first.
Oh, okay.
And then I saw recently the miniseries from the BBC. Which is
stuff like that.
They're both great. They're both excellent.
That's good.
They're very different, but like the miniseries is obviously closer because it has more time.
Mm-hmm.
I still really like the movie version. People don't like it because it's not unfaithful to Pride and Prejudice, but it takes some liberties. But like that doesn't make it bad.
Because isn't like she's supposed to be like super ugly?
Yeah, that's
very
the thing.
Homey,
Keira Knightley. It's funny because they were like, "Oh, they didn't want to cast Keira Knightley because she's too beautiful," and I'm like,
I think she's very pretty.
She is beautiful, but like they really try to like downgrade her the whole movie, and they can't.
It's because like, she's a very like stunning woman.
Yeah, I mean they do sometimes where
them
she
cheekbones.
I was gonna say she's like the dresses that they wear and stuff. Like she just fits the period pieces. You know, she just always does. She rocks it, and this is at the height of her career, so I think she did a really good job. Keira Knightley. I don't know if she's always the best actress. I don't know. I
don't know.
I don't know how much you've seen her.
Honest to God, like Pirates of the Caribbean is the only thing that comes to my mind when someone says her name.
She's really good in the first Pirates. Like I genuinely love her in that role. The other ones, I don't know. But Pride and Prejudice, I think that is just so good. And Atonement, that's a good movie. You should see her in that.
There's so many things that we have to consume in our lives.
That's why I have so Brittany knows about this. I have a schedule this month, as you know, for my reading.
Mm-hmm. It's intense.
And you know what? You would think that it is intense, and you would think that it would feel like a chore. Yesterday it did, just because I was really behind. But honestly, it doesn't. Like I've been so happy reading.
Well,
I've been
That's for you.
I know.
That's not something I'd be able to do. God bless you.
But because I'm reading all those books, then I come to this one and I'm like, eh.
Oh, that's so disappointing then.
It is, because I'm reading a book called Howard's End, which is so beautiful. Oh. And this.
Who writes this one?
This is written by Jack Thorne. I think this is something we talked about this a little bit before, because the book cover is very misleading.
Yeah, the visual of it.
Yeah, about who wrote the Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, parts mm-hmm. 1 and 2. First of all, before we even talk about that, we should say that we are reading the special rehearsal edition script.
Are we?
Something, I don't know if you are.
Am I?
You probably are. It doesn't even say it looks like on yours. Like, do you have your cover with you? Or
no,
okay.
That was lost a long time ago.
Let me see if it says it anywhere. You know what? It doesn't look like it does inside.
Oh, yeah. This is special rehearsal edition. Cool. Because it has, like, the cast and the production crew at the end.
Okay, cool.
And I think that's the only difference between...
The thing is with this, so obviously money's on my mind because this is a big cash cow.
Oh, 100%.
It's like, why? The whole thing was like, this was released a little before, I believe, the play debuted. I could be wrong. But it wasn't released a little before. It was right around the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And they released this and they were like, oh, this is just an early edition, but we will release the actual script once we fix it up. It's like, well, why release it at all? Because money, that's why. Which is not a bad thing. You know, people have to make a living, but you know.
Yeah, but.
But.
This is a cash grab.
Especially considering that J.K. Rowling, like.
They slap her name on and they make it bigger. And all she did was said, okay, you could produce it.
Exactly. Because
that's literally all it is.
Yeah. It says based on an original new story by J.K. Rowling. And then beneath that, it says John Tiffany and Jack Thorne. And then below that, it says a new play by Jack Thorne.
Who's John Tiffany, then?
I think he's the director. Like, I wonder if it says that in the front, because we should probably
get our stuff straight.
Let's see. Actually, it might not even say that in the front. Yeah, it doesn't.
Well, John Tiffany directed the stage adaptation of Once, for which he was the recipient of multiple awards, both in the West End and on Broadway. So he's the director.
Yeah, which is obviously a good thing. They got a really good director. One thing I want to point out, well, I guess sticking to the authors, this obviously the cash cow of this is that they want people to think that J.K. Rowling wrote this,
mm-hmm.
and she didn't.
Yes, because if you read the reviews on it, everyone is praising J.K. for writing this.
Which, why, first of all, but also, why are they praising her? Because it's not that good, but also, it's very misleading.
It's very misleading.
It makes people who, I don't think people are purposely ignoring facts. I think they genuinely think that J.K. Rowling wrote this. This was marketed as a book, first of all. I mean, sorry, a novel.
Oh, was it really marketed as a novel?
They never explicitly, I knew it was a play, but people got it and they're like, I opened it and saw it was a play and I'm disappointed. And mm-hmm. I'm like, where did you get your information from? I'm assuming the websites didn't report on it correctly. Like,
yeah.
Like, where they heard this? I don't
know.
They
said it was the 8th book in
well,
the
yes,
Harry
that's
Potter
true
series.
As well.
So I think that's why they said book. And so when people hear book, they automatically think novel.
Right. Which, yeah, is not... I just recently... This is a discussion that I've never thought about before, but the fact that when you have a book, it's not always a novel. A book can be anything. You're fine. It could be... You know, a play could be, mm-hmm. and I don't know, like a book of pictures for all we know. Like, it could be anything. But yeah, so the marketing for this was very weird. People still think that J.K. Rowling wrote it, and she did not.
Yeah, it even says about the authors, like on Amazon. If you pull up, it says about the authors, and J.K.'s on top. Then John Tiffany, and additional authors, Jack Thorne.
But he wrote it, yeah.
Yeah, that's why I'm so confused about. Like, he's like kind of pushed to the side.
And that's Amazon. It's annoying because it'd just be nice to actually sell a book and be honest about what it is instead mm-hmm. of trying to manipulate people into thinking that it's J.K. Rowling's work when it isn't. I don't know how much of this script was, like, how many ideas in the script were influenced by J.K. Rowling. I'm going to assume the father-son stuff, but then again, anybody could have written that. I mean, how many fan fictions out there have... I don't read fan fiction that
I
often,
read a
so...
lot of fan fiction.
So I don't know if you can comment on this.
So, yeah. there is a lot of fan fiction that talks about Harry and Albus. There really is, even before this book.
Oh, yeah, I believe it, yeah.
And it has the dynamics of this book. However, they're written a lot better.
Because
it makes sense the way they portray it, because you don't see... You understand that Albus, he was sorted into... this is like an overview, because everyone usually knows the overview.
Yeah.
Albus is sorted into Slytherin, and it creates a divide between Albus and the rest of his family and family friends, because it's not just Harry and Ginny. It's Hermione, Ron, all of their kids, his brothers and sisters, everyone down the Potter Weasley line, which is what he, which is his family, he is divided from them.
Right.
And so that is not unusual when it comes to fan fiction. Right. And it creates that tension between a father and son character. Now, you see it a lot in fan fiction with Draco and Lucius as well, because Draco has redemption stories in a lot of fan fictions. And a lot of them are based in alternate universes, AUs. So, like, you could really warp the development of these characters, you know? And that's what I feel that this place should have been in. I haven't read a lot of it, honestly. I just know the overview. And I know that – I know the overview is – there's a divide between Albus and Harry, his tension. And Albus is like, I'm going to correct a wrong that my father did by saving Cedric Diggory. Yeah. So – that right there is a divide in the universe, because like, you have to go on an alternate universe now because all the time turners were destroyed.
Yeah, that's a yeah.
So like,
that's yeah.
But this is but this play is presented in a way that it is direct canon.
Correct. And J.K. Rowling specifically said that it is canon. And I think this is where we get into messy waters. I mean, being an English major, I know a lot of people don't take this very seriously. I personally do. The topic of canon, I don't think it's hard. Like, okay, like, let's talk about it in Star Wars terms. Okay. What is canon in Star Wars? I'm not a huge Star Wars fan, but the fact that, I'm forgetting his name, George Lucas.
Yes.
Went back and changed, you know, some scenes and new updated editions. Who shot who with Han Solo, like, meaning, or who shot first, whatever.
Yeah, who shot first.
And all these edits that were made, what is canon?
After the fact.
Right. And, you know, are the prequels canon, even though everybody hates them and all this stuff? Canon is such a messy topic. Mm-hmm. And
look at comic books.
Oh, God. Yeah.
You know, they go off in so many different universes.
Yeah.
In so many different timelines.
Which is why I personally, like, I have no problem with people reading comic books. I have a hard time with them.
I can't get into it. Yeah, because it's so confusing.
Yeah, it's just too, it's just not, I very much look for stability in my, in the things that I read. Not stability, like, in the sense that, like, it can't be a messy story or convoluted or complex.
Or it has to be predictable.
Right. I just, like, I like when things are on a solid foundation. And Harry Potter, the seven books, is on a solid foundation.
Yes.
I personally don't subscribe to the idea that, like, I believe in kind of the death of the author. I agree that authors, like, as an author myself, if I'm going for something, I hope people catch on to that. But I also believe that, as John Green says, books belong to their readers.
Yeah.
And a reader can interpret anything out of something and make it their own, because it is their own.
That's really, I like that.
Yeah, me too. Everybody takes something different away from a book. That's what makes books so special. However, that's why I think the author doesn't really get that last word all the time.
Yeah.
Even though I think it's important to think what the author meant when they were writing things. It's also, J.K. Rowling says things sometimes that literally contradict the things that she wrote.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot in this play, which we'll get into in specifics.
I think if this play was written as a parody or comedy.
Yeah.
Like a tragedy versus like a serious, like canon type play, like what is it? Is it like the Divine Comedy or something like that? Where it's like funny but dramatic and like blown like, up.
I'm trying to think. Would I don't know Midsummer what it Night's is. Dream be considered?
I would think so, because that's comedic.
I've never read it, to be honest, so I don't.
Well, Puck is the comedic relief.
Which he's referenced in this play at some point.
Is he really?
I haven't gotten to that part, but I was listening to Witch Please, and they talked about it, and we'll get to that. But
yeah, I think if it was a satire, I think it would have gone off better than versus it being a serious play. We haven't seen the production. We Correct. Are just reading the screenplay.
Yes.
The play itself in the book form.
Yes.
So there's a lot of ways that it could be redone. Like Shakespeare's redone like countless ways.
Oh yeah.
In
for
like what? People take characters and like put them as like a refrigerator or something that. Like just being very avant-garde.
I was gonna say plays they take on liberties, which is fine.
Yeah. As they should.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely.
As they should.
Personally, as an English major, I look at it for like what's written in the script. I mean, it's hard with this script because it's the rehearsal script, but I look at what's written, what's presented to us, and the story of it.
So rehearsal script. So this is not...
This is not the final script.
The final script. Which that is so weird.
And the thing is, I mean, I stopped kind of following Harry Potter. Like, I'm not into the new Harry Potter stuff. Mm-hmm. I'm not into this. I'm not into the Fantastic Beasts stuff. I'm sorry. I don't care.
That's fine.
I do
like the time period of that, though.
Oh, I love the time period. Yeah. I just don't like it.
Newt.
I just don't like the movie. I don't mind Newt.
What's his last name?
Newt Scamander.
Scamander. Thank you.
I don't like the... I'm just not into Potter, the way Potter is going.
Yeah.
I'm not into J.K. Rowling anymore and her whole thing. I'm not into That's a whole topic that I would love to talk about, but I feel like that would just take us off track.
Yeah.
So I don't really want to touch on it. But I wanted to love Fantastic Beasts, but I just don't care enough to like pay attention to this stuff anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way I cared about Harry Potter. And I was going on to something, and I forget what now.
Talking about plays, you being in English.
Oh, yeah. I guess what I'll say is that...
Having an English degree, yeah.
I guess, like, what I'm getting at is that, like, I love Broadway and, you know, plays and stuff. I used to really love Wicked, the Broadway production.
Mm-hmm.
And I love Les Miserables, too. Oh, my gosh.
Love Les
Mis. We were talking about that, yeah. But I think that, like, speaking specifically to Wicked... Because I've read the book as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think that there is something lacking. However, what makes Wicked so good as a Broadway production is the music and the actors on stage. So, as you said, we are talking about only the script. We're not talking about the production.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know. We haven't seen the actors. We haven't seen the special effects, the stage, like just how they set things up. But I don't think that should cloud our judgment of the story.
Correct. I am reading this one purely to see how... much it meshes with the seven books.
Which I think is good, yeah.
I think if you were throwing Harry Potter in the title and presenting it as a sequel, but...
Well, it's supposed to be the eighth book, so technically a sequel.
So if you're presenting it that way, I think we should really be judging it that way. And like...
Yeah.
And that's how I am. Because there, like you said, there is a lot to adding music and the actors, and there's no stage direction in this.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
None.
Yeah.
And so, like, it's you have to do all the imagining, which is fine.
Right.
It's difficult.
It's difficult, yeah, and it's just, we'll get into specifics, I guess, so I won't say anything right now.
Should we read a couple of the reviews?
Sure.
So, I took a couple of 5-star reviews off of Amazon. Now, I'm going to skip the ones that think that JK has written this book, because obviously, not that their opinions aren't valid.
Right, yeah.
But they aren't giving the accreditation to the proper people, and that is... That's something you have to consider.
Yeah.
Like, they're not reading as closely as you and I would, especially if you're missing who the author
right.
is.
Oh, yeah.
regular written book. Oh, sorry. That was by someone, I think. JK wrote. Okay, I'm sure you already know that this isn't written like the other Harry Potter books. It is written as a play. I read this book as a big Harry Potter fan, so getting to know what happened to them 19 years in the future was just a fun experience. Harry's humanity and imperfections do come out in this book. Once I started reading it, I couldn't stop. If you're a Harry Potter fan, you'll probably enjoy every page, even though it brings fear, suspense, and real situations, especially family problems, to light.
What? That was a terrible review.
Yeah.
We'll get into that.
Yeah.
That was, especially if it has real world problems. Like, what do you mean especially? Like, that was in the regular, like, that's not a critique. Like, what? Like, okay, sorry, go ahead.
My first screenplay, and really enjoyed the presentation differences from a novel. Even great wizards need help being good parents. Kids just want their parents to love them. That's another review.
That is one aspect of this play.
Yeah, is the tension between parent and child.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
Considering Harry never had parents. So it's interesting watching his parenting style.
Mm-hmm.
Like, well, will be, because I don't know. I haven't read very far into this play yet.
Yeah.
So that's going to be really interesting. But then you have the whole other dynamic of him being married to Ginny, who has a huge-ass family, and they're all very close.
Yeah, that's... Ooh.
So that's good. That's going to create a lot of... Now I'm thinking as if it were a book. That would create a lot of tension between their parenting styles.
But can I just say real quick, because what you just said is interesting, how you're thinking of it as a book.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is, like, too, like, of an optimistic view, but, like, I don't think that a story should be limited based on the medium that you're telling it through. Obviously, you'll tell it differently depending on what medium it is. But, like, you should be able to tell a story and have that conflict even if it's a play.
Yeah, because, like, you should be able to show that.
Yeah, like, and there are ways to do that. Like, plays, obviously, well, they're
my
visual.
Mom said this, or my dad said this. Well, I didn't have parents.
Right.
Like, that creates that tension.
Right, exactly. Like, there's a lot of arguing or something.
Exactly.
I don't know. Well, we'll get to that, but I don't know if there's ever any arguments. Because I think between Harry and Ginny, I don't know. I could be wrong. The reason I say that is, and I guess we should state, that I have read this play before.
Mm-hmm.
And you started to.
I started to, and I got bored, and I stopped reading it.
Yeah.
Well, okay. I wasn't bored. I was annoyed with the characters because I could not connect with them. I only got, like, 20, 30 pages in.
Yeah.
And I was like, I'm done. Like, they're all just whiny.
Yeah,
so
they
are. I stopped reading it.
Yeah.
So now we have to, and it's just not.
Thanks
something
a lot.
I really want to. No, right. You voted for it, so
I did.
Thanks, Danielle.
I did. You're welcome. I just wanted to rag on this new Harry Potter play. It'll be fun. Okay, sorry. Go ahead and continue with our reviews.
I know. Like, this one thinks JK wrote it. Another one. It was different reading this in play form, but once you adapt to it, it's very... Oh, sorry. Adapt to that, it was every bit as good as the other 7 books. She is an awesome... Nope. You tricked me.
Damn. She got us that time.
Harry Potter is always a joy, and this is no different. I love the play format, and learning about Harry's kids and more history of Hogwarts is awesome, and as always. That's going to be cool. Do we learn more about the history of Hogwarts?
I don't think so.
Oh.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm forgetting. But, I mean, most of the book, spoilers, not really, though. I think we should... I mean, you've gotten to a point now where I think you know not much of this is going to take place at Hogwarts.
Yeah, especially if they're going... They're trying to save Cedric Diggory.
Yeah. I mean, I'm trying to think. Yeah. I mean, well, actually, I lie. There is some more stuff to Hogwarts, but not... I don't even want to say anything because I don't really want to spoil it. I want to see your reaction, so I'm not going to say anything.
I'm going to be so mad, probably.
You will be. Well, I was furious, so... Well, I won't say furious. I was furious more by the ending, but, like, some of the stuff at the end.
And this is the last 5-star. All of these have been 5-star reviews, by the way. Script format was annoying, but it was more than made up for by a truly excellent story. The new characters are interesting and well outlined, while the older characters are well developed. The pace of the story is very good. Potter diehards will love it, and it should attract a whole new fan base. Now, he brought up a point about the old characters. Does this go back to our previous seasons? Like, how well are we supposed to know the characters and their flaws and, like, attributes going into this play?
I honestly think...
Do you have to be, like, 100% like there?
That's such a hard question.
I know Draco's in this, and, like, are we talking about how Draco really didn't want to be a part of Voldemort's army and how right. he actually saved Harry at the end by throwing him the wand during the final battle?
Right.
Like, is that type of stuff going to be in there?
That's the thing. Because this is the 8th Harry Potter book, mm-hmm. which J.K. Rowling deemed, then yes. I think if this is considered the 8th Harry Potter book, like, if you read the 7th Harry Potter book and did not read any of the others,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you could get by, but honestly, you will miss the
character development.
Yeah, the character development, the reason that they're actually doing this to begin with, like, what a Horcrux is, mm-hmm. why Harry is the way he is. Like, you'll miss that character development that's kind of essential, in my opinion, to Harry Potter.
Shit, look at this 1-star review. I'm not reading that, but...
Oh, man, that I will... I'm going to read that later because I want to read these 1-star reviews.
Go on, I'm listening.
I just want to say that I think these 5-star reviews, a lot of them are saying, like, if you're a Potter fan, you'll love this. This is for diehard Potter fans. I think I could be wrong,
mm-hmm.
but I find that many people, when in their entertainment, they don't really look for what necessarily you and I are looking for. They're looking just to be entertained,
yes.
which is fine. Yeah. But I think that story, and we kind of talked about this with Lost in a Book a little bit, that story very subtly influences the way we think about the world around us.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me personally, like, I take that very seriously.
Yes.
As you know. Yeah. And so I think that somebody could say, oh, well, diehard Potter fan. But what makes me a diehard Potter fan is the ability of those books to reach into certain emotions and depict certain scenes with magic that is just so well done by J.K. Mm-hmm. Rowling that is not done in a lot of other books that try to mimic it.
Yeah.
But also speaking to the fact that Harry Potter, at the end of the day, as much as I love it, is very...
It is flawed.
Yeah, it's so flawed. And the thing is, I was reading a book the other day about writing. Mm-hmm. And Ursula K. Le Guin, who's also a fantasy author, wrote The Wizard of Earthsea.
Okay.
Which is an excellent book. And I would argue better than Harry Potter.
Ooh.
And she ripped on Harry Potter in her essay.
Did she really?
And she basically said, like, I don't like it for X, Y, and Z. And honestly... I don't think she's wrong. I don't want to say because that would, you know, too messy. But if that would be a long
read
discussion.
The essay.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe I'll link it in the description.
Patreon. But, I'll do it for a Patreon.
Yeah, exactly. There you go. But it's just, it's interesting because I couldn't disagree with her. I'm like, she's mm-hmm. right, though. I mean, Harry Potter, as much as I love it, as much as it's influenced my life and changed the way I read books, it's not this thing that people make it out to be.
Yeah.
But I think that's such a discussion we don't want to get into, mm-hmm. but it's just interesting reading these reviews, how much people who love these books read this play and also love it. It's very...
Well, like you said, it's all about entertainment. Because going through these 1-star reviews, I can't even pick one to read because
they're really
so long.
Oh, man.
And, like, those are the diehards. Like, those are the people that have inked their body... named, like, their pets, have devoted their lives to Harry Potter.
Yeah.
And, oh, my God, it's very hard. This is a 1-star.
Okay.
I refuse to call it the 8th Harry Potter book. The characters have no depth, the plot is flawed, and it wasn't even truly written by J.K. Rowling. She gave her impact to the script. She didn't write it. So I guess she did comment on it.
I'm sure she commented, yeah.
It is badly written fan fiction. I wish I could forget this book and go back to the mystery of the real Harry Potter world and books.
I wonder if this is probably a good time to talk about what she just said about bad fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, like, I don't read much of fan fiction. I'm trying to get more into it. But I know you were saying you read a lot of fan fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is a stigma... Not necessarily a wrong stigma, but not a good one either, that fan fiction is inherently bad. And yeah. I think that that's something that we should, like, let go of because...
Well, you know why?
That why?
Somebody did a whole... This was actually a Tumblr post.
Oh, okay.
Back in the 90s, when fanfic... When the internet was going and fanfic was getting really popular. What series was it? Vampire Diaries, I guess.
Oh, ew, yeah.
There was a lot of, like, fan fiction around whatever book this was.
Yeah.
And they were getting sued out the ass, fan fiction writers.
Really?
Yes.
Really? Wow.
That is why there's such a big stigma on it, because as soon as you start writing it, you can get sued, which is why it died for a long time. I don't know if you remember that. I remember late 90s.
Yeah.
Because, anyone who read them, anyone that published it online, they were going to court because it was infringing on the characters and stuff like that.
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because Amazon used to. They don't have it anymore, which I don't know how I feel about, but I didn't know how I felt about it in the first place. I forget what it was called, but they actually had a thing where they had a whole fan fiction section where with certain titles, like Vampire Diaries, mm-hmm. you could write fan fiction and earn money from it. They don't have it anymore, though.
Yeah.
It's discontinued.
That's why, though, because you can't earn money. But it was very recent.
It was very recent.
Well, they probably got...
Yeah, I'm sure.
Because if you go onto fan fiction sites, and this is why they all have it, at the top it says, these characters belong to J.K. Rowling. I make no profit off of blah, blah, blah. Mm. And that's why stuff like... Harry Potter, the very Harry Potter musical.
Oh, yeah.
That stuff was shut down later on.
What about the Harry Potter Chestnut Hill thing?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I'm freaking
so
pissed.
Mad.
Me too.
That would... Fuck me.
I'm so livid about that. That is so messed up. There's a conference near us called the Chestnut Hill Harry Potter. It's basically like an academic conference the first day where people who love Harry Potter talk, write essays mm-hmm. about it and say them in front, like, it's
they're
very academic.
Professors.
Yeah, they're professors. And the professors authors. Planned this. They're the mm-hmm. reason that was there. And I think this was their fifth or sixth year. Hasn't been going on that long.
It has not.
And Warner Brothers decided to say no.
Yeah.
I guess it's just done. I should have gone to the Facebook page. I don't know.
They might just change the name. I would hope so.
I would hope so, too, because that is so freaking... Mm-hmm. Ugh. I am livid.
They shut down Etsy? Like, Etsy
right.
People?
Like, and they're making money. Like, it's not like they're making money off the Harry Potter brand at this or at the festival. They're making money from shops. Like,
yeah, they want to be in the festival, so they pay a fee to be a vendor.
Right.
That's how they do it.
It has nothing to do with the Harry Potter.
It's a school.
Right.
It's the school that's putting it on. Chestnut Hill.
It's like encouraging. It's an act. Yeah, you're right. A school is doing it. They're encouraging literacy and people to be excited about books. Mm-hmm. And you're literally shutting that down, which is crazy because Harry Potter was the book that got kids into reading again in the 90s when mm-hmm. kids weren't reading as much. It's just so absurd. It's such an oxymoron.
Yeah.
I'm so upset about that.
Yeah.
It's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
I think that they'll still do it. Honestly,
I
think they'll just change the name or something because that's what will have to be done because the products that they sell there, yes, they're Harry Potter based, but they're homemade products.
Right. Yeah.
They're not copyrighted by the Warner Brothers or whoever.
Yeah.
Is it Warner Brothers?
Yeah. It's not like the butterbeer they make is like the recipe that's sold at the parks. It is. I mean, the one at the parks is amazing mm-hmm. and I don't think I've ever tried anything like it. No offense.
I don't like the bottled buttermere. No,
it's not good.
It is so sweet.
Well, it's not good. Yeah. Well, you probably won't like it at the parks then.
Oh, it's really sweet. I'm not a very sweet person.
Very sweet. Oh, I am. I have a sweet tooth and it's a problem. But yeah, like I never really like it that much because it doesn't taste like the one of the parks. I like the parks one. Nobody, and I don't think they released that recipe. Like
people make their own.
Yeah.
When I read it, I know it's supposed to be butterscotch.
Yeah.
But when I hear about butterbeer, I think of having like cinnamon and herbs and like all that more savory.
Okay.
Even though it is supposed to be butterscotch.
Yeah.
I imagine it more savory.
I don't know how I imagined it. I'll have to think about that. But it always sounded good to me. It always felt like a very warm drink.
Yes.
Very warm. So maybe savory would be better. I'd be interested to try a savory one.
Because
I do like the one.
Did I tell you about my friend's father?
No.
So I have friends, and they're half Brazilian. Their father's literally from Brazil. And he makes the best sangria.
Ooh,
and
I love
literally
sangria.
He just opens up what's under the sink and pours it into a big pitcher and like all these spices, and it tastes good every single time. And like,
oh man,
how do you do this? Tell me your ways.
He's a witcher. So sorry, go on with your reviews.
1-star reviews. All right. I rarely review. That being said, I am unbelievably disappointed in this quote story. I do not understand that JK... I do understand that JK didn't write this, but I feel that someone carrying on her legacy should have somewhat of her writing style. Mm. That's interesting.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, because we'll have to pay attention to the dialogue of these characters and if they... have the same type of speaking patterns.
I already know they don't. I actually wrote some stuff about that.
Okay.
Maybe not all the time, at least, but I picked out some stuff. But that's interesting.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
This has none of that. I've been reading these books since the second one came out, and I wanted to love this. And I hoped the play itself is as good as it's being hyped up to be. It's not that it's in script format. It is just into... It's just, in my opinion, that the writing is horrid. It is the worst quote fanfic I've ever read. And again, that's talking about bad fanfic. Oh, that's how we got on this tangent.
Also, I wanted to make a comment about fanfiction as well.
Yeah.
I think another stigma that goes along with fanfiction is that...
It's all dirty.
And not even just... I mean, you're right, all dirty, but also just like... not good, because people, like, when authors plan something out, they really take it seriously. And I think fan fiction is often not done that way. It's just something that person has in their head and they write it down.
I'm going to say no.
Well, not all the time, but a lot of fan fiction I read is super awful.
I'm going to say no.
Well, not all the time.
A lot. You're reading the wrong stuff.
Well, no, I agree with you, but I might be reading the wrong stuff.
Well, you're saying most, and I'm saying that's not the case. There's,
I don't know.
You have to explore the universe more.
I know I have to search, but honestly, if I have to, the thing is, like, there are some fan fiction, like, I want to write fan fiction.
Yeah.
And I know that I take it seriously, so I know there are people out there who, like, as you as well, because you write fan fiction. Mm-hmm. But I just know I've read fan fiction. Like, I could send you, like, 10 things that I found that are so bad by people who I respect as writers, like, and I read them, I'm like, this is awful. Like, it is so, like, there are things that are so bad out there, like, that I think there's a stigma around fan fiction that it's just automatically bad because it's fan fiction.
And I'm gonna say, for the people that have been in there for a while, that's not true. There's one that I read, and it was the funniest thing I ever read in my entire life. And it was supposed to be that way. He intentionally made it that way. And there are ones that are, like, quick and, like, corny because they're meant to be quick and corny. Like, the one I read, it was sex between the giant squid and the Hogwarts castle. And one between Dobby and a sock. You know, like, it's, like, those are the dirty ones, right? And it's humorous. You know, it's meant to be funny, a quick read. But there are ones that are... literally, like, 150,000 words.
Right.
Yeah, and like, I find more of people that are like that than...
That's good. Yeah.
Because the ones that are written pretty poorly, that's the first time they've ever written anything. And they piece out pretty quickly. And so if you just go on, say, Archive of Our Own or fanfiction.net, they're going to post on their front page the ones that are most recently updated.
Right.
So you have to throw the filters in and, like, the established authors, because a lot of them are also, like, 12 years old.
Well,
and they
don't
understand the mechanics of writing and stuff like that. So, yes, there is the market for fanfic is pretty saturated with poor writing. However, you have to take into consideration that the age... the experience level, like, it's some people use it as their journal.
Right. And I was going to say, too, like, I've read published authors.
Yeah.
As we were talking about recently, I just read a book where it had tons of mistakes.
Yeah.
And I think also remember that 50 Shades of Grey, it's not good. Oh, God. It's fan fiction.
It is fan fiction.
Twilight fan fiction. And I think, again,
I should throw that on the herbal.
I know. Don't. That's a book that I dread to read, but I would love to read with you.
Oh my God, I laughed so hard when I read it.
You actually read
it? Oh, I've read the, I read the first one, never, and not the other ones.
I always told myself that I never would, but
it's fun.
Yeah, I was gonna say it'd be fun to read because we already know it's bad. It's bad.
It's already bad, yeah. And like it's not because of the subject matter.
The subject matter,
I'm fine with. I like sex and BDSM and all that type of stuff.
Yeah.
I'm a very open individual, and, like, that's fine. Like, it doesn't bother me at all.
I think, yeah.
But the way it's written and the development of the characters is awful. Because it is an abusive relationship, first of all.
Oh, my God, yeah.
And second of all, the writing is just so poor. I gave it to my mother-in-law, actually.
Oh.
She's like, what are you reading? And I was like, 50 Shades of Grey. And she's like, I heard that was a good book. I'm like, you can have it when I'm done reading it.
Oh, no.
She got like 10 pages in and she's like, I don't know what to do with this book. I need to give it away.
You know, it's funny because there are people like that I legitimately respect. And like I'll be at their house and I see it on their nightstand and I'm like, I don't know how to feel about you anymore. No, and I have a writing buddy, Blaine.
Hey, Blaine.
Shout out to Blaine. Hey, bud. And he was saying that, I think he was at a friend's house and he saw it on their table. And so I think he was waiting for them. So he sat down and started to read it.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember he was just like, that's
interesting.
Bad.
I don't remember his exact thoughts,
but I just remember that exchange where I was like, you read it? I would have not touched it.
No, yeah, like, because.
Demon.
Like, you don't know where that book's been.
Oh.
In showers, in bedrooms.
God. One day we will talk about that. No, but so yeah, I agree with you. I think that fan fiction should not be given. We should not automatically because
discount
just because it's
it.
Not yeah discount it. That's a good word. We should not automatically discount it. I like I said, like I've read a ton of bad stuff, but like you said, that's because I haven't filtered out to the good stuff.
Yeah,
and I think that's like with everything. I think that a lot of fan fiction is. I think a lot of it can be bad because. To publish a book, it's a very hard process, and you have to know the right people.
That's what I was going to say. Like,
yeah, so it's a lot different. Like, yeah. Fan fiction, literally anybody can do it. And mm-hmm. Let's just be honest, not everybody's a good writer.
Yeah.
That's fine. You know, if you want to write something, you write it. Like, mm-hmm. That's empowering, and that's great, and that's what fan fiction should be doing. But for those, like, who want to read a good story, it can be found.
Yeah.
And so I think when we say this is bad fan fiction... It is playing into that stigma, but know that we're not making fun of fan fiction.
No, not at all.
Yeah, because we ourselves write it, read it.
Oh my God, I can't wait to write my Harry Potter one.
I'm writing my Belle and Death one, all right? It's going to be real.
It's going to be real. It's going to be legitimate.
I think about it every day, and I don't have time
to. I love
you
so much.
I don't have time to write it every day. Uh-huh. So I honestly, like, I sometimes, like, I look at my schedule, and I'm like, I want to write it. Like, yeah. I just want to write, and I start writing, and then it's, like, 2 hours later, and I'm like.
It's okay to deviate from your schedule, Danielle.
I know, but then, like, I don't get the things done that I need to.
That you need to or you want to?
Need to.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I hate that need and want thing.
Mm-hmm.
I hate it.
Why? The difference between need and want?
I don't like when people say that because sometimes the things that I feel that I need to do, people are like, well, that's a want. I'm like, no, it is a need.
I say that a lot to people. Only because I know a lot of people have different priority setups, mm-hmm. and like they get so upset if something doesn't turn out the way that they anticipated
it to.
I'm like, that's because you wanted it to be that way. You don't need it to be that way.
I'm trying to teach myself not to be a perfectionist.
Yeah.
So I've been very calm this month, actually.
Good.
So I'm very proud of myself. I've been very calm.
Good for you.
Except, you know, but yeah, I'm getting there. But yeah. So anyway.
So that's our... We anticipate going into this book that it's going to be bad.
Yeah, and I think I know we were commenting on this with Lost in a Book, but like, it's important to differentiate that we're not being just these weird fangirls. Like, oh, this is not like the Harry Potter we know, so it's automatically bad. Or it's a script, not a novel, so we don't like it.
Mm-hmm.
No, that is not why. It's not that it's a script. It's not that it's different than Harry Potter that makes it inherently bad.
Correct.
It is specific things that we will talk about.
Yeah.
and are not because, I mean, part of, I'm sure nostalgia does play a part, but like we can separate our nostalgia from critical thought.
I think so.
Yeah.
You were able to do that with Belle.
I was going to say, like, when we talked about Lost in a Book, like, as much as it might have seemed like I was being hardcore nostalgic, which I was at times, like, that's not what was happening. Like, so, and that's not going to happen here either. And if it is, we'll probably say.
Yeah. If it is, call us out on our bullshit.
Yeah.
Let us know. We had a lot of people vote on our last poll. It was like 52 people, but we haven't heard anything from anyone. So, like, guys, talk to us somehow.
Please,
somewhere.
Please do.
Comment on pictures on our Instagram. Send us an email. Do whatever. Just and let us know what's going on.
Yeah, and we'll read your email. If you write to us, we'll read it. We'll answer it on the show. If you don't want us to do that, that's fine. We will not do that. Let us know in the email. We will read our iTunes reviews, all that good stuff. Again, if we might read them a little late, just because we record these well in advance.
Yes, so. Well in advance.
So, yeah, we'll definitely do that. And also, I guess now is a good time to talk about our sponsor, Audible.
Oh, yeah.
Audible.com. Audible has over 180,000 titles of audiobooks at your disposal. And this episode is brought to you by Audible, where you can go to audibletrial.com/BABAT.
Yeah.
You can get a free trial, 30-day trial.
And a free book.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. So what should we recommend? Should we recommend the Harry Potter series again?
Yeah, let's do that. Only because we're on this subject right now.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
So, I would say that. And isn't J.K. Rowling's other book on Audible?
Yeah, her Cormoran Strike series is on there. Yeah. That's the casual. I mean, sorry.
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's the detective books. There's three books. The fourth one, I believe, is coming out early next year or late this year.
Oh, wow. She's...
Yeah,
well, she's a lot under those.
I've listened to the first two via Audible. Ooh, and I actually got the third book also via Audible. I have not listened to it yet, so.
How was the narration in it? Pretty solid?
I actually like it better. I couldn't read the book. I had a hard time with it. Yeah. When I listen to it, I find it much more enjoyable. I do like it.
Yeah, and you find that a lot when it comes to audiobooks, is that when somebody else reads it to you, it's a whole nother experience, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, definitely. And also her book, The Casual Vacancy, is on there, which is a book I personally very much like. I know a lot of people don't, but, you know, I like it. So definitely check that out as well. And again, that's audibletrial.com/BABAT. And you can get a 30-day free trial as well as a free audiobook.
Yay!
So be sure to do that today. Get on that. All right. And also, we should talk about our poll.
Yes. We are setting up our poll for next season already. It's going to be up for 2 weeks, guys, so get your votes in. I know we're doing this a bit earlier than we did last time. It's only because we want to hear more voices.
Yeah.
And we want to make sure that we're reading what you want us to read. You know, it's like a book club.
Yeah.
And we are hammering out the details of how we're presenting this podcast.
Definitely.
So I think we're getting pretty familiar with it.
I think we are.
I think it's going well. So we have five books again up on the poll, and you can find it on our website, BABATpodcast.com. Okay, I was making sure it's the podcast part.
You go to /vote, and we will post it, but if you go to /vote, you'll be taken right to the poll.
It will be posted on our Facebook and all that type of stuff, too, so you'll be able to see it in the show notes. So I picked two. Where'd You Go, Bernadette, by Maria
Semple.
And also Miss...
I don't know how to say that. Miss
Peregrine's?
Peregrine's
Home of Peculiar Children by Ransom Riggs.
Riggs.
Why can I not read that? I don't have my glasses. We're far away.
You're so tiny.
So,
Home for Peculiar Children.
And Where'd You Go, Bernadette? You know, read, and maybe I'd be able to do this podcast better. So we'll figure it out.
All right. My picks are Lust by Robin Wasserman and Elixir by none other than Hilary Duff.
Hey.
Oh, hey.
We'll have to play Hilary Duff music.
We will.
The whole time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You know, I was actually listening to 90s, because we did the 90s and 80s trivia.
Oh, yeah.
And so on my way there, I put on a 90s playlist I have. And I kind of, for me, 90s, when I think of that, I think of also, like, the early 2000s as well. Mm-hmm. So it was... What Dreams Are Made Of came on, and I'm like, yeah, that's right, but like I couldn't really do it because I was at a red light, so I turned down my music because I didn't want people to look at me.
Oh, you see, I turn up the music at a red light because I like being annoying.
If you were with me or somebody else, I would totally do it. I was actually listening recently, I don't know why, but I've been obsessed with Miracles Happen from The Princess Diaries.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Miracles happen once, you know. Oh my god. And I was listening, I was like, it just got stuck in my head, and I'm like, I need to listen to this, like, right now.
Put it on!
Yeah, and so I, like, was at home, and I put it on, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is, like, my 10-year-old self.
I love it's
rejuvenated.
but what's the fifth book?
The fifth book is a pick by Tanya.
Tatiana.
Sorry.
You're so used to calling her Tanya. It's Tatiana. God. The listeners need to know.
I'm sorry.
I like how close I could get to the microphone.
Yeah. The way you lean in because your arms are behind you, it looks like you're chained up like a prisoner and like,
ooh,
somebody save me.
So we are reading Fifty Shades of Grey.
Oh, no. You know, I knew it when I said that.
Mm. Oh, wait. What's the book called?
The Dud Avocado by Elaine Dundy.
I'm so glad I don't get this close to the microphone. My voice is weird.
Your voice is fine. Your voice is beautiful, like an angel.
In every single way. Okay.
Yeah.
So it is, Where'd You Go, Bernadette?
Oh, yes.
Home of Peculiar Children, The Dud Avocado,
mm-hmm.
Lust, and Elixir?
Yes.
Elixir.
So those are some pretty good choices, I think. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to have a fun time with any of those picks.
Yeah.
And I think I'll say this, and if you don't agree, then I'll cut it.
Okay. Keep that whole part in, too.
Yeah, I will. So... say whatever's our whoever like votes for the most books, obviously we'll choose that one for our next read.
Yeah,
but whatever comes in second, do you want to make that our next read after that, or do you want to just do a whole new poll?
We'll do a new poll and maybe throw the second one in that poll.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Okay, that's a good idea. Yeah, okay,
just
we
give
will be
everyone
reading.
the options.
Yeah, and the reason why we're not again putting headphone alert headphone not that anybody would know that anyway. Brittany's headphone just like fell out of her ear and like swung and yeah. So
we're reading The Pendulum by Edgar Allan Poe next, right?
The Pendulum? Ah.
Mm, ah. Swung. Get it?
You're good. I love how you're just like cringing right now at your own. You know, and
you're
I know
say A Pride and Prejudice and Zombies.
Yeah, that's I know what. That's not in the poll, but as we said, we're gonna read that later this year sometime, so since it was the second pick.
Yes.
So, yes, we'll get on that. So that finishes out our episode. Like, let me just make sure. I don't think there's anything else we wanted to talk about. Yeah, we basically talked about everything.
Yeah.
I'm not going to, yeah.
We didn't do our intro. So I'm Brittany.
Oh, my gosh. And I'm Danielle. Wait, we didn't introduce ourselves?
No, we'll just do it at the end. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Danielle.
And you have been listening to Books as Bad as Twilight podcast.
Oh, man. It's been a good episode.
I know.
So.
Be sure to follow us on all of our shit.
Oh, yeah. Social media. Everything's in the show notes, okay? I just updated our website, so now you can actually see the show notes on our episodes.
Neat.
I'll show you after this. So it looks very good. I'm very happy about it. And so you can see all the show notes in there. You can see it in the podcast show notes on whatever podcatcher you have. You can see our social media on our website, also in our show notes. Also, please give us a review.
Mm-hmm.
5 stars. Or else.
Pew, 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 pew.
Pew, pew, pew. just kidding. You can leave us whatever you want. But like, I feel like this is just, you know, a message that if you don't like something, I don't know, send us an email first. That would
yeah.
be nice. Because we want to improve and we think that what you have to say is important. So send us an email if you don't like something instead of leaving a 1-star review and making us cry.
I'm an ugly crier. No one needs to see that.
Me too. So it's over.
All right. So, well, yeah. Until next time.
We should have a sign-off.
Oh, God. Do we have to?
Because we don't have to, but I was just listening. Like, in my head, I was thinking of another podcast I listened to, and their sign off, and I was about to say it, and I'm like, don't say it, don't do it.
We should be what?
But I know we said happy reading, but that's so lame.
That is so lame. Yeah. I like the idea, but
yeah. Have fun.
You know what?
Bad books.
Tell us what you think our sign up.
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Competition.
Oh, competition. Ooh, I don't know why I just did that.
Why are you doing money signs?
I don't know. You're not going to win anything. You're just going to have your sign off.
And plus, no one can see.
And nobody saw that. So,
all right. Well,
I'm really good at the audio medium.
I'm so sorry. That was so loud.
I love when you laugh like that because if you weren't listening before, you are now.
Yeah, like, just wake up.
Yeah, wake up, son.
That's our sign.
I haven't said that in a while.
Wake up.
Wake up.
Life is
read
too
a book,
short
son.
For bad books.
Why are we doing this then? What are we doing with our lives?
Because you need to seize life by the horns and read all the bad books.
Oh, Brittany, come on.
I don't know what's going on. All right, goodbye.
Okay, goodbye.